Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon to you, Delma.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Very well, thank you, Delma. How are you doing?
I'm well, thank you. No complaints.
Lovely. Cannot complain too. I hope your day has been good.
Yeah, it's been busy, but good.
Well, busy is good, but glad to hear that. Now, yes. You know, we are talking to you and, of course, inviting all our listeners to join in the conversation. And if you've recently learned that your child has or might have autism spectrum disorder, you're probably wondering, and what about what's going to happen next? So you may be unsure about how to best help and assist your child, or confused by the conflicting treatment or even advice that you get out there. Or you may have been told that ASD is perhaps incurable, lifelong condition, or leaving you concerned that perhaps nothing you do will make a difference. Now, over the next week, in honor of the Autism Awareness Month, we are learning from those who have been personally touched by autism. And today we are beginning with Delma. Please do share your experiences with us, Delma.
Oh, okay. Firstly, yes, autism is a lifelong, disorder.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a disease per se.
Mm-hmm.
Autism is a difference in the way the brain works.
I see.
So you see, like, the way left-handed people's brains work different from right-handed people's brains.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same with autism versus neurotypicals. Those who are not autistic are called neurotypicals. Mm-hmm. Those who are autistic are neurodivergent.
Neurodivergent. Mm.
Yes. And left-handed are neurodivergent too, eh?
I'm left-handed.
Because I'm left-handed too.
Oh. Okay.
Yes. Mm. So you are a neurodivergent.
Mm, okay.
So your brain works differently. It operates differently from a right-handed person.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how an autistic person's brain works. It
I
works
see.
Different.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So, yes, it's not a curable disease, but with help, you can actually make things better. Like, you can teach them
mm-hmm.
to survive in mm-hmm. a neurotypical world.
I see.
Yes.
Now, what were your biggest fears when you first got the diagnosis that your son was a neurodivergent?
I was very worried because my son is type 2 autistic and he is nonverbal at the moment.
Okay. All right.
So I was very worried about communication. How is he going to survive in the world with people? And, you know, my worst fear was, if I dropped dead tomorrow, what happens to him?
Yeah.
Can he survive? Can he function? That was my worst fear.
Right.
Yes.
Now, you're saying something quite unfamiliar to myself and perhaps to those who are listening. You're saying get type 2 neurodivergent. What does that mean?
They classify autism because it's a spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
There's not two autistic people are the same. That's one.
Oh,
two, so,
okay.
Like, yes, not two autistic people are the same. They may have some similarities, mm-hmm, yes, mm-hmm. but they're never the same.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yes. So you'll find in some people the autism is severe and in some it's not severe.
So which one is type one?
Type one is the non-severe one.
Okay.
So you find with the type one, they're very high functioning.
Oh.
And you can almost not tell.
Mm-hmm.
Actually,
mm-hmm.
I think we've got a lot of autistics running around and no one can tell.
Right.
Yes. So you'll see maybe with some little behaviors in that they're a bit OCD, they mm-hmm. want things neat, or they don't like lights like this. They don't mm-hmm. like, you know, there are certain things you can pick out that, okay. But most people just take it down to, okay, this person just has a bit of a quirky behavior or quirky attitude.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Type 2 is slightly more severe than type 1.
I see.
And most, half the time, they are nonverbal.
Okay.
And if they are verbal, they say what needs to be said. They're not the chatty people.
Mm-hmm.
It's those people where if you say, how are you? they'll tell you, I'm fine. And they will not ask you how you are or no. They'll just say, I'm fine. They'll say what they think needs to be said.
And then
And that's
they're
it.
out of your business.
Yes, they're out of your business. If you say, oh, outside it's cold, they'll say, yes, it's cold or no, I don't think so. And that's it. They will not say if they'll be very honest as well with you. If they think your hair is funny, they'll tell you, Uncle, I think your hair is funny. And then they'll keep it moving.
And how you deal with it is your problem.
No, how you deal with it, that's now your own problem.
Yeah, you must just deal with it. And
Yes, because
they've said what needed to be done, said.
yes, and autistic people struggle with like emotions
I see.
and also with doing what is basically what most people say is normal behavior or normal way of thinking or normal courtesy and stuff. They struggle with that, so that's why they'll be very honest with you. If they think your nose is too big, they'll tell you your nose is big, and they're not saying it to be mean. They're just telling you it's a fact, your nose looks big, and that's it. So that's, yeah. So type two, but okay, the honesty is with basically all of them. Type three is more severe. Those are the ones who, even by looking at them, you can tell that there's something different.
Oh,
Even
okay.
their, the, yes, even like their what you call this, their features, you can tell that, Yes, their features, some of them are slightly disfigured, and most of the times they can't speak. And they're the ones who like get easily frustrated and they'll bang themselves on to the
Oh,
to the
yes. I've seen those
yes.
types. Okay, so that's type
Yes.
three.
That's type three.
Okay.
So getting a diagnosis is very important because you can start getting help early. And start with therapies that will make things easier. Yes, you find when my son was small, having guests at home was a nightmare. Going out was a nightmare. He could not stand people he didn't know.
So he'd just go to
He will
close
start
himself
crying.
out.
No, at least if he did that, that would be good. He would start crying. He'll basically have a full-on meltdown,
Oh
and we
my.
didn't know what that was. And when he's having a meltdown, and the more you try to comfort him, the more you're making it worse because he's getting a sensory overload. But then we didn't know that.
Okay.
We used to take him to the mall, and we didn't know that that wasn't right. You know, like in the mall, you see those white fluorescent lights. They make a sound that
Yes, yes, yes.
goes.
Yes. I
But
know that.
you, yes, but most neurotypicals can shut that out. And most people can shut that out. But with autistic people, because their senses are so heightened, they can hear it as if that sound is right in his ear. Yes, so he will fight and he will make going to the mall was just a nightmare. So we took him for occupational therapy. And when he started occupational therapy, now we can briefly do a mall. We can have visitors. We can go out to parks. Actually, he's quite outgoing.
Oh,
He
okay.
loves going out. Yes. He can
Extroverted.
go. Yes. He loves going out. He loves people as well. He's a very huggy, kissy person. And so, like, now we're trying to teach him that, okay, you don't hug and kiss everybody.
How old is the
Yes.
son now?
He's 8.
He's 8. Okay, he's a big boy.
Yes.
A
He's a
big
big
boy.
boy.
Now,
Yes.
you've briefly shared about some of the things you've had to do and adjust. The rest of
Yes.
the family, how are they impacted? I'm talking about now where the other family members in their home or extended family members.
Well, it's quite a it's a lot to take in. But with the immediate family, like his siblings, his father, it has been a journey that they've sort of gone with. I think they've learned to adjust and they've learned to be a bit easy on him. But then for us, the parents also, it's been trying to have a balancing act where we don't put too much of our attention just on him with autistic and then forget the
The
others because the
others,
others still need a parent. They still need a relationship with us. So it's been quite a balancing act for us, the parents, to, try and balance everything and to learn to understand and think out of the box and also to understand him for who he is.
Mm-hmm.
If I want him to stop doing something, if I say, stop it, he's not going to stop it.
Ah, okay. So no, you've got to have a tact.
You have to talk to him. That son, can you please stop what you're doing? Please? No. If you talk to him nicely, he'll actually listen to you. Because just because he can't speak doesn't mean he doesn't understand. He actually understands.
At
first, we didn't know. We used to gossip about him thinking he can't understand. And yet he would. And then we'd see some of the actions, like maybe when we're planning that, oh, we're going to do this or we're going to do that. And then he's going to, you know, do the opposite thing, or we hide something and he sees us hiding and thinks these people just think I am stupid. No, I'm not.
Yeah.
Yes. So it's been quite a balancing act. And then with the extended family, it's trying to speak to them and making them understand what autism is, because there's a lot of stigma attached to autism. A lot of people think maybe you did something wrong to have an autistic child. Maybe, you know, someone once said it's sins of the parents. And okay, I don't know what sins we did for that, but some say that
old-fashioned thinking.
Some say that. Some will use derogatory terms that, oh, that's a dull person or that's a white person, you know. And so it's teaching them, basically. It's teaching. It has taught me to be more kind, or rather more, what can I say, more understanding,
and
that
patient.
You know what, and patient with people, that you know what, they don't know what they what I'm dealing with, and they don't understand what this is. And so but otherwise it gets better with time. That's all I can say. It gets much better with time. If you look where we were
and where
like
you
maybe
are
and where we are now we're basically living a normal life. I can be firm with him and I can tell him, no, you're not going to do that. If you want something and I don't want to give him, I'll tell him, no, I don't want to share this with you, or I don't want to give this to you. And he'll decide, oh, okay, fine, I don't care. And then he'll walk away. You know, it's like a normal relationship with any human being. Yes.
Is he first of the siblings?
No, he's the third.
Third.
Yes, he's the third.
The last one, basically.
He's the last born, yes.
So the older siblings are able to manage, because I know with children, some will be, you know, children, they tease each other. They want to be, you know, some can be rough with each other. You know how siblings are.
Yes, yes.
Have they been able to adjust as well as the parents have adjusted?
Yes, they have. Funny enough, they have. And they're very protective of him. And one thing that made me happy was when I saw my daughter, like she went and looked for articles about autism when we first found out. And she tried to, you know, try and understand what it was. And she was actually much younger at that time. So it's been good with the older brother. My younger son, Peanut, we call him Peanut. Peanut loves his older brother, DJ. And then DJ thinks, oh gosh, this irritating boy. You know, the usual. Yes, the usual. But they do get along. At times you'll see them sitting together, watching something together. So they've got their moments where they don't get along and moments where they get along. And yes, so it's... Actually, we now have a normal family.
Lovely, lovely, great to hear that. Now, what would you say are some of your biggest wins?
Biggest wins. Okay, first it was the potty training.
Okay,
we're not fully potty trained. We're half potty trained.
Okay,
but believe me, half potty training is better than none at all.
Exactly.
Yes. So the potty training, and the one day he said, Mom.
Wow.
And he was upset. Okay, he was upset, but Mom is Mom.
Yes, yes.
Yes. And then now he calls me D, which is my name. Yeah, I think he just said Mom. Mom was too childish, so let me call her D. So he calls me D. So he'll say, D, D. Yeah, so those are, you know, small little things, you know, they've just been small little wins. And like now we've moved him to a new school And he is loving it.
Oh,
He is
lovely.
loving it, yes. And he's doing the spell to communicate there so he can spell, and he's spelling huge words like neurodiversity.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And so an octopus, and
Wow.
it's
That's
when you
beautiful.
watch him, when you watch him do it, it's like, wow. I didn't know that you could do that.
Wow,
So
this is
now we're
good, man.
even careful with our SMSs when we're reading our phones.
Yes,
Yes,
because
because he'll be,
he's
yes,
gonna
he
read and
actually,
understand it, actually.
yes, he actually will be reading. He'll be reading and just looking at you quietly, thinking, ah, okay, so those are your plans. Okay. Yes. So those are some of the what you call this? The wins, but
Yes.
it's been a lot. Like now, it's easy. When he wants his food, he'll let us know what he wants to eat. He
I
will show
see.
us what he wants to eat. Now I just need to teach him how to do dishes because he
Ah.
loves playing with water in the sink. So I'm thinking he may as well do dishes while at it.
Yeah,
And
true.
then once we get that done, I think we'll be hundreds.
Oh, it's a lovely journey, man. I mean, you've really come this far. It's been a long journey, but I'm sure one that is pleasing for yourself and the husband. Now,
Yes.
what's the setup in terms of when they sleep? The neurodivergent people, are they sleeping throughout the night, or do they get
Yes.
disturbances at night?
No, he sleeps throughout the night, and he sleeps, he's like clockwork, he's a routine person.
I see.
So at around 8, 8:30, he's out. He sleeps, and then in the morning at 5:30 he's awake. Unfortunately, he's awake at 5:30 every day, even on a Sunday or on a holiday. He's awake at that time, and when he is awake, everybody must
Must be
wake up.
awake.
Yes, so he'll go in, he'll open the window, the curtains in the whole house,
Yeah, it's
and
during the day, guys. I don't understand why you're sleeping.
yes, I'm not sleeping. Why are you sleeping?
Exactly.
You know, yes, but no, he sleeps very well. He's actually, you know what, he's pretty low maintenance. Even as a baby, he was a good baby. He was an amazing baby.
Beautiful man. At least we have learned something and gotten a peek into your world in terms of how you experiences your experiences rather raising a neurodivergent child. I'm looking forward to a time when he will be a teenager, around 15, 16. It's probably going to be an interesting time.
I'm scared. I'm
No.
scared. I'm scared because you know, each stage comes with its own thing.
Oh, yeah.
Each stage comes with its own thing. Like it's the same with us wanting to teach him how to dress up, dresses put on. That also means he can take off his clothes. So now he chooses what he wants to wear. We'll get him to bath and dress up, and he'll let us dress him up, and then after that he'll decide, no, actually, I'm not wearing this. He'll walk out, come back in pajamas. And we're thinking we wanted to go to the shops or to the park, and we've put him on in shorts and stuff, and he comes back in pajamas. But because he has learned how to, he's gotten to a stage where he can choose what he wants to wear, he can dress himself up, he chooses what he wants, and that comes with its own responsibility. So as they get older, I've seen like some of my friends with autistic children, or well, there's one with an autistic child who's a teenager. Their hormones don't stop, or the stage doesn't stop because they're autistic. They will still go through that same. So if you think neurotypicals are difficult to handle as teenagers, what you call this, neurodivergence are just as bad. Yes, they also just come with their own, yeah. So I'm a bit apprehensive about it, but we'll take it as it
Well,
comes.
take it as it comes. Delma Chabalala,
Yes.
thank you so much for your time and allowing
Thank
us
you so much for having me.
a sneak peek into your world and helping those who are listening out there because perhaps somebody still has a baby, but 2 years, 3 years, 4 years old, they've just discovered. And I hope that one or more have learned something about coping, I mean, in raising
Yes.
with a child who is a neurodivergent. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me.
Lovely. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.